You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Sword Art Online After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Sword Art Online After Show.
Hey there, AfterBuzz fans. We are here to talk about Sword Art Online today.
Look at how shiny it is.
For those of you watching on YouTube, you can see right here, we've got the opening playing in the studio.
Oh, sing this version again.
Yeah. It's a good version, though. And for those of you, unfortunately, listening, you can't see it, but it looks awesome.
I love when we do this.
It's like it's a TV so cool. Or something.
Yeah. Who knew?
Oh, my God.
Technology.
It's really great. I'm your host, Megan Salinas. Joining me on the panel today is Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
Liz Rishmawi.
Hey, guys.
And Tari Miller.
Gambarimasu.
How do you do that? It's fantastic.
Gambarimasu.
I'm going to sound like little Trunks from like Dragon Ball Z when I do it. So.
It's awesome.
Just let you know, I can't do that low.
I want to... You need a catchphrase every week. It's great. We should all get catchphrases. It'll be wonderful. Before we get started today, I want to go ahead and talk to you real quick about Maria Menounos' new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness. Woo. It's got tons and tons of recipes and how-tos for exercise guides. If you're looking to go on a diet, if you're looking just to kind of change your lifestyle to just sort of get a little healthier, get yourself in shape, this is a great step in the right direction. It's got lots and lots of really good recipes and tips that can help you out.
Also, just want to point out for anybody who isn't watching on YouTube, if you haven't ever seen Maria Menounos, she's got some, like, wicked abs. So yeah. If you even want anything relative close to that, you should pick it up. It's a good read.
Yep. And while we're on the subject of plugging things, we're going to go ahead and talk to you at iTunes real quick. Guys, if you like what we do, please go to iTunes rate and comment. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know that we're doing a good job. It's how we let our bosses know that you guys like the content that we're putting on.
And make sure that we're going to keep on recapping some great anime shows as well. So rate us five stars.
Give us five stars because you love us.
Yes. Anyway, let's go ahead and dive into this week's episode, The Illusionary Avenger. Last week we had murder in the safe zone, and now we have Illusionary Avenger.
I think it was Colonel Mustard.
Yeah, last week
in the village.
With the nerve gear?
Yes. Yeah. That's what's been killing people this whole
That's
time.
True.
The microwave.
That's true. Anyway, but yeah, last week we had a murder mystery episode, and this week it kind of took a left turn from murder mystery into straight up horror / thriller genre. So we had a shift at some point in the episode, but we'll talk about that in a minute. The episode starts off where we left off, with Yoko getting stabbed through the open window and falling to her death.
Was her name Yoko or Yuriko?
I thought her name was Yuriko. Yoko?
It's spelled Y-O-L-K-O, but they pronounce it with an R.
Yoko.
Yoko.
Japanese! Cool. Yeah, my favorite thing I have to point out, and again, I wasn't here last week to comment on this because migraines suck, but I just love how in like every single anime, or just animation in general, that you look beautiful when you die. It's like this, and then the hair flies up, and it's just, no! And it's just like this baby pain! And they just like fall into the abyss, and it's just my favorite part when people die in anime. So,
unless you're watching Attack on Titan.
Yeah, it looks like we just came from the Attack on Titan panel. It's a lot less glamorous.
Okay, but aside from that, like just the hair, like,
What movies Yeah. In general, movies and TV in general, people look pretty darn good when they die, but not, that's not always the case. But anyway, Kirito jumps right into action, and after he sees her disappear into the blue polygons, he sees somebody in a black coat on another rooftop, and so he goes after this person, and they're running over rooftops, and eventually the person takes out a teleportation crystal, and boom, they're gone. Mm-hmm. And so Kirito's like, dang it, I lost him. And so he comes back, and first of all, Asuna is like, why did you run out like that? That was insane.
What is your
also
damage?
Did you catch him?
That was stupid. Why would you? Well, okay, did anything good come out of it? No, you're stupid.
You're dumb. Did you succeed? You're still dumb.
And he's like, no, the person teleported away. And we have poor Schmidt, who's sitting here. I kind of really liked, I mean, it was terrible because, you know, the poor guy is going through a lot of trauma right now, but I kind of loved that as he's just having this mental breakdown, thinking this ghost is going down and tracking down their guild members one by one and killing them.
It's Griselda's ghost!
And he just starts laughing hysterically, and as Asuna and Kirito keep talking, if you can listen for it.
Just like that.
No, and it was funnier than that.
Okay.
But you can just hear him laughing maniacally, like, in the background, because he's just losing it. And then what kind of weirded me out is we cut to Asuna and Kirito later without Schmidt. Like, they just watched his friend get assassinated.
Listen, it was time
they
for
left
sandwiches.
Him.
You need to get your priorities in check, and you need to understand that sometimes.
Hey! I am the first person to put.
This
I am
is
the,
exactly
I
why
will
I need
always
this book.
Put food first.
We both need this book. Okay,
sandwiches.
But it boggled my mind because it always bothers me in scary movies when they're like, they're after this person.
But then they
we're just going to leave him alone now.
Right. Well, like, we know they're bad detective. Like, even in the last episode, they were like, oh my gosh, Yoko's in danger. We're gonna go over here. You stay here in the inn.
You stay here alone by yourself.
You know what, let's get some air in this room. Just
open up the window.
You know? They could have at least left her with Agil to be like, this is a big, strong guy. Why don't you just hang out
with him? Yeah, they could have easily, it would have taken literally probably about 5 minutes to teleport down over to the 50th floor and like just leave her in Agil's shop and be like, Agil, you have an axe, you are big and strong, and you don't take any crap from anybody.
Right?
You watch her.
We've already established that Kirito is not the smartest protagonist on the planet or in the game.
Yeah.
But at this point, we did have to have our characters carrying the idiot ball in order for the plot to continue.
Exactly. It's true. But
which
it
sucks, but that's life.
It's true. But it just kind of it made me laugh because I'm like, okay, yeah, just leave the next murder victim alone, why don't you?
Guys, it was Clue. It was like a really bad thing of Clue. It was just,
this is getting serious.
Yeah. But, anyway. You know, but and anyway, so they skip ahead, and what was the next scene?
They're sandwiches. Discussing sandwiches.
Oh, sandwiches.
You know, they're bouncing ideas back and forth, and that's when Asuna hands him a sandwich. She's like, I figured we wouldn't have time, you know, for a proper lunch, so I packed this morning.
And I made it.
And yeah, that's
eat
when
it before it gives out, because evidently items only last for so long.
Yeah,
once
food
their
items.
Durability
there's a concept in this game called object durability. So basically, items in this world have either an expiration date or like they
wear down.
They
exactly.
have their own HP essentially.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting.
So she hands my sandwich can die.
I know. And it looks just like when somebody dies in the game because it just erupts into blue little polygons.
She says dumb things, as Kirito is wont to do. You can make a career making sandwiches if this whole second-in-command thing doesn't work out for you. She smacks him one, he drops the sandwich, it disappears.
And
he drops to his knees.
And
so sad.
I really liked this scene because, you know, when you go back and look at it again, it's clearly the wheels are turning in Kirito's head. But the first time you watch it, you think he's just mourning his sandwich.
He was on his knees for 10-15 seconds just sitting there. It's like,
it might be because I was a fat kid and I would have done that. Or maybe because most of my favorite anime growing up with Dragon Ball Z and Goku or Sailor Moon with like Usagi,
Yeah.
They would have done that too.
So, they would have been like, my sandwich.
Trump's version. We're not mourning the sandwich. We're having
Asuna's
a mind
like, what's wrong?
Moment.
And he raises his hand up to like be like, to be like, I'm thinking, but again, at the time, it was like, I'm mourning my sandwich. Just don't talk to me right now. I need a minute. But as we see, the wheels were actually turning as he's figured something out in terms of this object durability thing, but we don't get it quite yet. In the meantime, we cut to the 19th floor, which is the Hill of Cross, which is probably the creepiest looking floor we've seen so far.
Yeah.
It reminded me of a scene from like a Never-Ending Story, like the swamp
Swamp of sadness.
It reminded me
one time I was in high school and our bus broke down on our way to like a field trip out of town, and it broke down and there was fog and it was just all these rows of trees and we had sit there on the side of the road waiting for another bus. So that's what this reminded me of, because
you
that's exactly
got
what
stuck
it
stuck in Silent Hill.
Pretty much. This is the Silent Hill floor, because they're just these bare trees and fog everywhere.
Mm.
But
the grave.
We see Schmidt standing over what looks like a plaque in front of this tree. And I couldn't read the plaque. I don't know if it was like a plaque, like a specific memorial to Griselda.
I believe it was.
Or if it
Probably.
Was just kind of more of a generic one. But
I think it was Griselda.
But yeah, he was definitely talking to Griselda. And he's begging her for forgiveness because he never intended anything bad to happen. Mm. And this is a guy who genuinely believes her ghost is out to get him.
I like to pretend that this is Schmidt from New Girl. I keep thinking of like the no, and just like it's just if you think of it in a weird. But anyway,
my thought was like, if you think someone's ghost is after you, why go to their grave? Like that's where they're closest to the spirit.
Well,
like their body's there. Like
the body isn't there technically. You know, it's a memorial because her body wouldn't exist anymore.
Yeah,
but I mean, I guess in a way, it's kind of like in Japan. You know, they go to shrines and they have like they give offerings of food and incense and flowers. So maybe it was just kind of his way of just like. Even here now, you break down and you cry in front of the grave and you're like, hey, I'm
well,
sorry.
That, and right. He's begging for forgiveness. And if he's going to try to appease whatever supernatural force this is the place to do it. I'm not saying it was smart. And I'm not saying that I would do that if I was in a horror movie. But you can understand the guy's reasoning. You can understand the logic behind it. But of course,
he doesn't have the option to leave this horror movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. It's going to keep following him no matter where he goes.
Freaking, they could have gotten the dang thing, put it in the Field of Flower floor. They didn't have to go to like the Swamp Nest monster area to like.
That's true.
A nice place for her
floor
memorial.
Floor 47. I think
go
it was 47.
47. They got flowers, okay? There's like people. It's a happy
how
poet.
Long ago
bury
did,
me there.
How long ago did she die? Floor 47 might not have been unlocked at that point.
Oh, no.
Point.
Of course. No, well, but anyway.
I'm sorry. Six I'm applying months. Logic to your joke.
It was a very pretty floor. That's the long and short of what we're saying. Anyway, so we have him, you know, begging her for forgiveness when all of a sudden we get, tell me. Like, oh, really? As he's saying he's sorry. And oh, really? And he looks behind him because there was this noise. And it's just a little rabbit scurrying across. But then in true horror movie fashion, as he breathes a sigh of relief and turns back around, boom, there is a figure standing in a dark cloak right in front of him, holding Guilty Thorn. And you know that the how actually, yeah, was it Guilty Thorn?
I think so.
The How spear, did they get the that thing? From Agio?
I mean, Grimlock could have forged another
that's
one.
That's true.
Though.
They could have done... That's probably what it was. It was probably multiple versions of this sword, because otherwise, I don't... either that or this ghost is just really crafty.
Or the artist screwed up.
Or that. But basically,
carrying this
basically, what looks to be the spirit of Griselda is brandishing the sword saying, tell me what you did to me. And that's when we have Schmidt break down. And this ghostly figure is joined by another ghostly figure, also in a black cloak. And that's when Schmidt is like, Grimlock, oh my gosh, you're dead too.
I didn't know you were dead.
Yeah, and that's when he just breaks down and admits that after they had decided what to do with the ring as a guild, he had a crystal in his, I believe it was in his pouch or something like that, with instructions on it saying to put it next to Griselda's door so that this unknown person could get in and that he would get a cut of the profit from the ring. And seeing as how Schmidt was one of the people who wanted to sell the ring and split the funds between everybody else, he decided to go ahead and follow through with these instructions.
Right.
He claims that he had no idea that Griselda would get hurt, or that, you know, and he had no intention that she would die.
And that he didn't
hit her. He didn't know who left the note.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, again, was not signed. He didn't have any idea.
He might not have bore her any ill will, but it's like, really, dude, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, you get this mysterious note. Like, do you think this is somebody? If it was somebody on your team, they'd be honest with you. They wouldn't do this, like, anonymous
not
person.
Not necessarily, as we come to find out later. Yeah.
But anyway, and so they pull back their cloaks, and it's revealed that this is Yoko and Kynes. I almost called him Klein again. I keep wanting to call
everywhere.
Him Klein.
Klein is everywhere.
But it's Yoko and Kynes who we thought died this past episode, and that's when we cut back to Kirito and Asuna, and that's when Kirito's explaining they're actually alive.
Yeah, and it's really fun. It's really interesting, too, because, you know, again, it's very logical, and it's, again, the sacrifice of the sandwich. But, you know, he goes into explaining that...
Like, nobody died. We only think we saw them
We only
die.
Saw right. what we wanted to see, and then all the viewers are at home. That's why it's called the illusion, whatever that title was.
Illusionary Avenger.
Illusionary Avenger, yes.
Which would be an awesome superhero name.
Marvel branching out.
Yeah, but basically, yeah, so what they did is they basically just were using these teleportation crystals, and the sword was only sticking in the armor, not through him. And then as the armor, they were just looking at the HP of their items, and just at the right moment, they would use the teleportation crystals to just poof, and it looks like they died.
And Yoko had her back to them the whole time. Mm-hmm. They never saw her back. And so that dagger was in there the whole time, and she's just watching her armor like, oh, time to die.
And you have to hand it to her, you know, she took a, you know, a dive out a window and landed on her face,
right.
you know, to
no,
get
she
the
did
full
land,
effect.
Didn't she? She did land.
She landed.
Ouch.
So give the girl some credit. She really commits to the craft. Basically, they realized, okay, this is how this effect was pulled off.
I'm sorry, I just had, like, this mental image of, like, her in the hospital with a nerve gear on, and as she lands, her whole body just goes, like, and then it just, like, continues, and then, just picture it.
Like, and then as she teleports away, she's,
honey,
like,
what
worth
to
it.
Our daughter?
No, that was,
Or even
is
worse
she coming
than-
back?
Oh. Or even worse, the nurse is like changing her catheter at the time or something.
Oh,
okay, now
you're
we've
welcome.
Gone there.
That's a hilarious mental image. But anyway, so we cut back to Yoko and Kynes and Schmidt. And basically, they're kind of clearing the air a little bit. You know, it's one of, again, he bore her no ill will. It wasn't the best thing to do. When all of a sudden, in the middle of their talk, Schmidt falls over. He's paralyzed. He's been stabbed with this little, what looks like a status effect dagger. And he's now paralyzed. And they turn around and they see three people in the scariest hoods that you've ever seen. And this is where we take the turn from murder mystery into straight up horror / thriller, because we get introduced, ladies and gentlemen, to Laughing Coffin, the murder guild.
Their entire purpose is to be hired to kill people. And we watch this together.
We're not even just hire.
Yeah, they just do it.
We watched this together last week, and last week for us was Game of Thrones Episode 9, Mikasa's backstory in Attack on Titan, and this episode. And I freaked out the worst over this. This was worse than Game of Thrones and Attack on Titan for me. Because I watched the Abridged series, and they name-dropped Laughing Coffin twice as a joke. So I'm like, oh, it's kind of a joke, because all I know is the Abridged series.
I kept telling you they were real. I had heard that they were real. I had heard that they were a guild of some sort, that they were in an antagonistic group. I didn't know they were straight-up murder guild.
And I was spoiler-free. So I'm just like...
So this was less of a murder mystery episode for me and more of an introduction to Laughing Coffin.
It really was.
I don't know if they'll come back. I hope they do, because
I'm sure
I love the idea of a group like this being out there this world.
Yeah. And on a less traumatizing note, it did answer my question about whether they can have status effects in this game. Yes, very much so, unfortunately.
And so we have these three people basically cornering Yoko Kynes and Schmidt, who is now paralyzed. And they're just so giddy because they're like, look, we got a member of the Holy Dragon Alliance. Right. It must be our birthday. You know, something like that. And so they're just kind of toying with them when all of a sudden we have somebody riding up on a horse in true...
Can he be more cowboy? The horse rears up dramatically. And Kirito falls off right. on his rear.
And I highly recommend for anybody who isn't following us on Twitter, and we will go over our Twitter handles at the end of the episode, but please, please check out Tari's page because he did this beautiful Photoshop of Kirito
cowboy. It's one of my favorite things, and I really wish that we had gotten a full shot of him actually on the horse so that we could do another one.
Yeah.
But because and it was like... You know, Kirito's the white knight in a lot of situations. Mm-hmm. He really didn't look like it this time because he just falls over. And compared to these full-grown men, we really see how short he is and everything like that. And it's really funny that the black swordsman member of the assault group compared to, like, you know, full-grown men.
Where did the horse come from? Is it that you could have just teleported in?
You know
found
what?
A horse?
I hope that you have an ocarina and that you just use
literally, song. He's just like, wait.
And the horse will just ride up like in Legend of Zelda.
He's like, Asuna, shut up for a second. I need you to shut up. Hold on. I'm going to see if this works. And then also the horse just comes in and it's like, what?
How did you even do that?
I honestly think maybe the animators were just like, look, I'm never going to be able to draw one. I just really, you need me to put a horse in the game. Just, I quit. I don't get to draw a horse. And then that's what happened.
And so Kirito rides up and he basically tells this group, Laughing Coffin, he's like, look, the assault team is on their way here. Do you really want to stick around and fight the assault team? Mm-hmm. And they stand off for a second when finally Laughing Coffin decides that it's not worth the trouble. And they pick up their stuff and go. Mm. And that's
their weapons are like, yeah. A short-handled cleaver, which is really, really creepy in the close-up shots, and not good when you're fighting anyone with any sort of ranged weapon.
Probably not good for melee combat with a bunch of members of the assault group.
Yeah.
I just kept on thinking of Barry the Butcher from Full Metal
Alchemist. Full Metal Alchemist, yeah. Very much a similar vibe to that. It's one of the most disturbing things I've seen in anime.
Oh, it's one of the most beautifully disturbing.
Exactly.
I love that entire series.
I kill people because it's fun. And then we have Laughing Coffin, which is three people, one of whom is wearing a human skull. We got the top half, and then we have the jawbone along his.
Which is probably just an item, because when people die, they evaporate in this game. So it's not an actual skull.
But you chose your character customization to be... Tattered hood.
Bad people are out there. Bad people are out there. Creepy people, bad people.
Bad people are out there. They're even playing online games. So when you pop in WoW tonight, be careful.
You get worried about people on the internet, and then there's these guys.
But anyway, so they decide to pick up their stuff and go. And that's when Kirito, we flash back to Kirito and Asuna, and he's explaining how they figured out. Turns out it actually was Grimlock, according to his deductive reasoning. Last week we were talking about how we didn't want it to be that straightforward, but there were more twists to this than we anticipated.
Right. And then they flash back to, they were talking about items.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. The meal meeting.
And you know, and at first when I was like watching, I was like, what are you talking about marriage for all of a sudden? Like, what are you, slow down, chick. That escalated quick. But anyway.
Yeah, we've got Asuna and Kirito talking about marriage. And when you get married in Sword Art Online,
your items merge.
Exactly. Yeah. You get shared inventory. So when one spouse dies, very much like if they will it in real life, all of their remaining possessions go to the surviving spouse.
Or even if they don't will it, like,
it's automatic.
Yeah, it's just automatic. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, like, in terms of real life, like, you have a will and testament.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like applying logic to this.
It's a problem.
Anyway, so basically, Grimlock would get the ring if Griselda died. And so, like, that's where we have our main suspect.
Yeah. And they were just saying to themselves, they're like, you know, he didn't need to, like, the guy who killed her, whoever killed her, didn't need to get the items. He wouldn't even have access to the items because once she explodes, the items aren't just gone.
Yeah.
Well, that's a better for Roger. Yeah. They explode, people. But and they explode into all these like different like, you know, colors and stuff. The items aren't just going to be left around. It's going to automatically be in Grimlock's inventory.
Exactly. So he
She's
would
very
be
clever. I mean, props to the sociopath. But yes, very,
yeah. Props to Kirito for using his brain. Actually, yes. it was actually kind of cool to see him use deductive reasoning. Like this.
He just misses that sandwich. He wants to avenge it.
I would too.
Can we talk about that moment when Asuna is talking about how romantic that is? And yes.
Romantic and
her,
pragmatic.
Yes.
Pragmatic.
So how many times have you been married?
Right?
You're lucky like, you're in a safe zone, Peter. She would have murdered you.
But you were the one who said it would be romantic in plastic.
And she's like, pragmatic.
It means practical.
Well, I wonder if this isn't maybe foreshadowing because
End of the episode, you mean?
Spoiler free.
I'm not saying anything. All I'm saying is while I was sick, I happened to watch ahead a bit in the series, and I'm not saying anything.
Please don't.
I'm not.
I can't help but wonder if that's foreshadowing because they're talking, you know, she's talking about how it's a very practical thing to have just everything out in the open.
Or just
like
to
that.
Get married and sort it online like it's a practical thing.
Yeah, it's not even, like, it's romantic, but at the same time, it's like, it makes sense in terms of, like, the context of this world.
Exactly.
Anyway, but talking about this is what gets Kirito thinking about the item in shared storage and how Grimlock would have the ring. And so basically he's explaining this to them and he's like, well, you said Grimlock didn't want to have any part in this when you begged him. And they're like, yeah, we had to beg him to get them to forge the weapons with us. And turns out Kirito is like, well, him not wanting to just want to let Griselda rest, that wasn't his motivation.
He just didn't want you digging around.
He didn't want you guys making a scene and raising eyebrows about, you know, player killers in the safe zone. But ultimately he saw this as an opportunity to wipe out anybody else who knew about the ring who would go around causing trouble. This way, you know, kind of everything would get swept under the rug and everything, all the loose ends would get tied up. Really
and everyone
neat.
Already thinks they're dead.
Right. And except for him. And then, which means that he would be the only possible person that could call up the Laughing Coffin and knowing that they're all going to be in this spot because they've explained their entire plan to Grimlock about how they're going to get the confession recorded, where they're going to be. So it
exactly.
was. Like, again, smart sociopath.
Exactly. And so we have Asuna coming up. She's captured Grimlock, who was watching, like, off in the distance.
Doing
all
God
he
knows
needed
what.
Was popcorn.
Yeah. And
seriously.
So she comes up with him in tow, and he's like, greetings, friends. Yeah. Like, long time no see. You know, sorry I just tried to murder you and all. But they basically go, like, why? Why would you do this? You know, is it for the money? Like, you thought it was good enough to kill, you know, your in-game wife, Griselda, for the money?
And he was like, really?
The money? Like, no. Griselda, I had to kill her while we were still in this game because she's actually my real wife.
And because she's happy now. And I don't like that.
That was
kind of the worst.
Her real name is Yuko, and apparently they were married in real life, and she was a very Stepford wife. She was very submissive. They never had an argument.
Which is the sign of an extremely unhealthy relationship.
But when they got stuck in this game, she found her inner strength, and she was more alive and free and happy. And she became the leader of, you know, this guild. She was taking charge, and he was the one who felt like
he slinked back.
Yeah, he was crippled by his fear of playing in this game. And to see her, you know, rise to the occasion and again find her inner strength, he's like, she's not the woman I fell in love with, you know, like, and so if I couldn't have my Yuko, I would settle for the memory of her.
It's almost as good.
Yeah, and it's like, we're watching this, and it's like, that is the most disgusting thing I've heard from this series.
Yeah.
And
I think
And when they call him out on it, he's like, you'll understand when you're in love. And Asuna's the one who calls him out. She's like, that's not what love is. Yeah. You stopped loving her when you became possessive and like.
Can we pause a moment and just, can we just reflect though? I want to just point out that the reason we are absolutely disgusted with all these things that have been happening is because there's a lot of stuff happening like this nowadays that's like media
it's
and
true.
Stuff.
It rings so it's too close to home.
Yeah, it's striking a chord way too much.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, you know, and again, and Asuna, like you said, she stands up and she's just like, you stopped loving her when you got possessive and stuff. But for all we know, and I kind of rolled my eyes at this, I was like, bro is always possessive.
Exactly.
Right. Bro never actually loved her. I don't know why I keep calling him bro.
He loved the idea of this, you know, perfect Stepford wife, and it's so creepy.
Yeah.
And the second he thought that he might lose her because she was happy and actually
strong,
confident.
And yes.
Instead of going, talk about things. Let's, you know, obviously our relationship has moved on to another level. Let's talk about it.
No,
she's like, nope, death.
Yeah, and then
because, you know, what a nice guy.
But the thing that I also rolled my eyes about is just how quickly he was to be like, what have I done? And it's like. Like, I liked the episode. It was a great episode because we saw a lot of things in it that made us kind of, wow, this is horrifying. And it was, like, interesting.
But people like this don't show remorse.
Exactly. It was too quick for him. Like, I kind of wish he just started laughing and something and then they took him off somewhere.
I think he was suffering from some massive cognitive dissonance. There may have been some part of him that did love her, even if the possessiveness overshadowed it there. There may have been some part that loved her, Mister, felt really, really guilty about causing the death of another human being.
But there's too much plotting and planning, you know?
But then he tells himself, oh, I did it for this reason.
I did it because I love her.
Yeah. And then he convinces himself, but it's very fragile. And the second Asuna goes, no, that's enough to break it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Cognitive dissonance.
But like,
anyway.
Or poor writing.
One of the two.
We've never seen that in this series before.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, I feel like if it was something that he could have, like, snapped out of, like, it would have been more of a crime of passion. But, like, this took, like, months
that's what I'm saying.
Because it was a six-month gap between the things, right?
When somebody goes to Laughing Coffin, you know.
Months after the fact to find out just to cover up what he did and to kill his friends, not only his wife, but to be like, okay, well, because if he was really that guilty about killing his wife, he wouldn't be like, pop, 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 okay, all my friends are now dead, too. Like, you'd be, no. Like,
yeah, no.
We're riding on this one.
Still
but
murder.
That's the only thing that I think really kind of episode.
Speaking of his friends, Schmidt has recovered from his paralysis, and they all get up and they're like, Kirito, with all due respect, this is our problem now. Like, we'll take care of this. You two have done enough. And so they go and they pick up Grimlock and walk away. And, you know, they say thank you and go. I was like, are they going to murder him or are they taking him off to jail?
Yeah. Sure, the implication is either rehabilitation or jail, but it sure looks like they're going to take him off and execute him.
Yeah.
Take him behind the chemical sheds and shoot him.
And then we get a little part in, you know, the extension of what foreshadowing what will happen with Kirito and Asuna's relationship, because she's just like, hey.
Friend me.
You should friend me. Yeah. And that's something that, like, it's kind of adorable because he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, that's moving really fast. And she's like, we don't have to form a party together. Like, you ridiculous. Should make some friends while you're here. And it's a very
player.
Nice scene.
I don't have friends. How do
but
I friend?
And it was actually really funny because one of the ways they were able to find Yorko, you know, where they were is because she was still in Asuna's friend list.
Exactly.
So it's great that, you know, it's really funny to see that. Kirito had to ask Asuna because he doesn't friend people. But you know, as the sun is coming up, she's like, you know what? We should be friends. Like, you know, think about it over food. It's okay. But then he stops her, and she's like, well, what's going on? And he points over to the tree, his jaw hanging down, and we see what looks like Griselda's ghost.
Yep.
Which.
And then we look again, and she's no longer there.
Right. Here was my problem with that.
They wouldn't know what she looked
like. It's like the end of Star Wars when Darth Vader's ghost is there, and it's like no one's seen him without his thing. Like, how do you know?
How would Luke know who that is?
It's just one of those things.
Process of elimination.
Yeah. It's like you died as a white guy, and now you're the not white guy with white paint on your face? Like, what happened to you? But, no, like, it's the same thing. But at the same time, the long cloak, they kept on mentioning the cloak, and I guess, you know, put two and two together.
And I guess it's possible that they could have showed pictures of the Golden Apple Guild as a whole.
Yeah. Dramaticness.
Yeah. But
it's just creepy, and they have no context.
It was
for
a very eerie end, because it was like, well, is it possible to have a ghost in Sword Art Online? Anyway, that pretty much wraps up the time that we have. Do you guys have any other thoughts about the episode?
I am really sad that my "it's a random person who doesn't have anything to do with it" theory didn't pan out. We did get Laughing Coffin out of it, but I'm kind of sad that my ridiculous pet theory died.
You guys?
I'm good.
Looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah, we're looking forward to the next one. We get back to the plot. Katie, where can the people find you?
The people can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm also on the Attack on Titan panel.
Liz.
Hey, guys. You can find me at Lizzie Maui on Twitter and Instagram, L-I-Z-Z-Y-M-A-W-Y. I'm also going to be starting this week on Thursday, Dominion. And on Sunday after this show, I'm going to be starting The Musketeers.
Nice. Yay! Tari.
You can find me on Twitter at Tari J, that's T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y. And I'll also be on the Dominion panel, so check it out.
Awesome. Yeah. That'll be fun. You can find me on Twitter at TheMenguin, that's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I am also on the Attack on Titan panels on Sunday nights. Again, if you like what we do here, please go to iTunes, give us a five-star rating, and leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Thank you guys so much for joining us for this week's Sword Art Online panel. We'll see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz
over 9,000!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.